What do you think of when you hear the phrase, secure the high ground? You think of the military, don't you? Think of war. You think of two armies encamped against each other, and they're battling for some goal. And secure the high ground is a basic principle of war that's been around, I guess, for about as long as people have been warring. And basically what it means is you want to get on top of the hill so that your opponent has to fight uphill to get to you. Now, when we're in a spiritual battle, we want to get to the high ground, okay? Now, if we're in a battle and we're trying to get to the high ground, you'd like to think that there's something of value on that hill. Right? You don't just pick any hill. You'd like to pick a hill that has some strategic value. And what we're going to talk about tonight is what's on that hill. And what's on that hill is the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to talk about how to gain entrance into that kingdom. And it's going to require us to go up hill. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll begin there this evening. 2 Peter chapter 2. We studied from 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to study from 2 Peter chapter 1 tonight. And Peter there in the beginning of this chapter, the beginning of this letter, he talks about entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And he's got three things that he's going to mention there. The first are the great and precious promises that we're trying to attain in this warfare. And I'm actually going to jump to the end and talk about the guarantee that we have as Christians that we can attain those promises. We have a guarantee from God that we can attain those promises. And I'm going to come back to the middle section and talk about the steps that are laid out in this epistle for us getting there. Let's read just the first four verses there, this passage. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption, the corruption that is in the world through lust. He mentions several things in these first four verses here that Christians can have. And the first, he talks about, he's writing to Christians here who have obtained like precious faith with us. He also says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, he's writing to Christians here. So this grace and peace is going to be multiplied to the readers. He says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He tells us that we've been called by glory and virtue. He says he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, and that we are partakers of the divine nature, and that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Pretty good stuff, right? Pretty good stuff. Let's read, let's jump down to verse 8 and read through verse 11 here. And he's going to talk about the guarantee that we can have to attain these things. Beginning in verse 8, "For if these things are yours and abound," we're going to come back to what these things are in just a moment. But he says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So he's given us three guarantees in these few verses here. The first one is, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first guarantee that we have here, that we can attain these promises. The second one, he says, you will never stumble. If you keep these things, you will never stumble. Okay? And then he says, the third guarantee, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, why am I saying these are guarantees? Look at the wording there. Look at the verbs there. He says, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. You will never stumble. An entrance will be supplied to you. So those are guarantees, right? That would be legal terminology for a guarantee, right? You've got will in there. These things will happen, he says, if you do these things. Verse 8 there, "For if these things are yours and abound," this is your guarantee. Okay. So we're going to talk the rest of the evening about these steps to ensure this guarantee and these promises. And those steps are found in verses 5 through 7. And that's going to be the meat of our lesson this evening. Verse 5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Okay? He's given us steps here. He's given us the ingredients that we need to be working on to ensure that we receive an entrance into the kingdom. This passage, I put up here the different words that are used in several of the translations there, and you'll see a lot of them are very similar. The first one there, faith, it's in every one of them. And I didn't even put the New International Version on here, but faith is included there as well. But he said the faith is the fundamental basis for us attaining heaven. But he says you need to add these other things to your faith. Look at this next one here. You've got virtue. The New American Standard Version translates this moral excellence. We're going to talk a little bit more about these words in a little bit. This is the one place that the New International Version deviates from the New King James Version. It actually uses the word goodness there. The next one, all knowledge. Every one of them translates it knowledge. The next one is temperance in the King James Version. But you have this idea of self-control. I was reading out of the New King James Version. The next one there is patience. A lot of the times we think about patience as waiting on something to happen. But what you've got here is this idea of perseverance or steadfastness. The next one here, all of these translations use the word godliness there. And then you've got brotherly kindness. The English Standard Version says brotherly affection. And of course, the last one there is love. Now, it's interesting. King James Version translates this charity. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get a little farther along here. But remember, the basis here is our faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." But James, in James chapter 2, argues that faith is not enough. He even tells us that demons have faith and tremble. So it's not just limited to faith. We've got to add something to that faith. And, of course, James is arguing works there. Our works define whether or not we have the proper type of faith. Let's go through some of these words here that we see in these three verses here. The first one there says, giving all diligence. He says, not only are you to add these things, but you're to add them with diligence. And this idea of diligence, it comes from the Greek word spoudē, which means with haste or speed. You can almost hear the word speed in spoudē, right? But it's this idea of with haste or speed or earnestness. That's something that is important to try to get done. There's another military concept that our army has, I know, and probably a lot of other armies around the world is you don't wait for the enemy to come to you. You take the fight to the enemy. So that's this idea of pressing forward. This idea of speed, haste, earnestness. But it's something that we need to be doing with some sense of urgency. First thing he mentions there is add to your faith virtue. Virtue comes from the Greek word arete. And it's interesting, at Florida College, one of their fraternities down there is arete. Well, they name their fraternities by Greek words. And this particular one carries with it this idea of moral excellence, which we said virtue is many of the translations. But it has this idea of strength of mind, moral purity. It's you have determined that you're going to have a moral sense about you. You're going to keep your mind pure. It's interesting, we're talking about adding these things to our faith. This one's a hard one, isn't it? In our day and time, Frank talked this morning about the dress of women and how men, it doesn't take a lot for men to be attracted to a woman when they're dressed inappropriately. And yet, we're surrounded by that. Television just bombards us with that. And what we've got to do is exercise this strength of mind to make sure that we remain morally excellent. He says, add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge, this particular word is gnosis, which carries with it the idea of understanding. It's interesting, back in verses 2, 3, and also down in verse 8, he uses the word knowledge there, but it's a different word. It's a different Greek word. The Greek word there is epignosis. And that idea is more of an acknowledgement. You understand it to the point that you acknowledge some truth. And, of course, if you look at how it's used there, the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, the knowledge of him who called us. Down in verse 8, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's more of an acknowledgement. What you've got in this verse, what we're adding to our virtue, is an understanding. It's a comprehension of the things that we learn about God and his will for us. He goes on to say, add to your knowledge self-control. This is, I actually have a typo here that ought to be engratia, E-N-G there. But that's the Greek word there, but it means restrained or one who masters his desires. Again, our world is just so filled with temptation. Satan has he just bombards us on a daily basis, and we contribute to that by putting ourselves in those situations where we can be tempted. And yet here he says we've got to exercise self-control. And that goes way beyond even just sexual attraction. That's self-control in all aspects of our life. But it's this idea of being restrained or masters of our desire. Then he goes on to say, add to your self-control perseverance. Perseverance, again, carries with it this idea of endurance. It's not just patiently waiting on something to happen, but it's this idea or concept of endurance. Add to your perseverance godliness. Frank talked about the word holiness this morning. Holiness is one of the definitions here of Eusebia, which is translated godliness in all of the translations there. But it means holiness or piety or reverence. We ought to have those characteristics in our lives. And if they're not there, we need to be working on them. Then he says, add to your godliness brotherly kindness. This is the word Philadelphia. We have a city in our nation named after this Greek word, Philadelphia. And we talk about it being the city of brotherly love. It's this idea of brotherly affection. It's when you care for someone because they're easy to be cared for sometimes, as opposed to the next word we're going to talk about here. But then he says, add to your brotherly kindness love. And this is the word agape that we're familiar with. But it's this idea of goodwill or benevolence. It's you're doing what's best for another person, whether they deserve it or not. A little different than this idea of Philadelphia, right, or brotherly affection. But it's this idea of benevolence. You're looking out for their best interest, even if they don't deserve it. And I think that's probably the reason that the King James Version translates this word charity as opposed to love. That's probably why that word is used there. But what I want to do is just go through each of these, and we're going to read some passages here. All of these are from the New King James Version. You can follow along in your Bibles. But the first one here is add to your faith virtue. When we talk about virtue, we talk about moral excellence. It means we're filling our mind with good things, with things that God would have us to be thinking on, as opposed to the things that this world has to offer. And again, I would say, this is the first step beyond faith. And this is one that a lot of people struggle with, right? It's very, very difficult to get all of that worldliness that we're surrounded with out of our lives. But look what Paul writes in the book of Philippians there in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If we fill our lives and fill our minds with these things, that's going to help us achieve this first step of moral purity, moral excellence. Next thing here is add to your virtue knowledge. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent. This is the New King James Version. I believe the King James Version says study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be spending time with our Bibles. We need to be spending time studying to make sure that we can conform our lives with what God wants us to do and not just what we think we need to be doing. It's interesting, when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, this was their promised land. God had promised the children of Israel that he would give them this land. He had promised it to Abraham, that his descendants would be partakers of that land. And it's interesting, Joshua, the words Joshua has to say to them when they finally get there, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Add to your knowledge self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. One of the things you'll notice about this list is it contains some of the same words that we found in our text for this evening. It says, but in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering." That's that idea of perseverance or endurance. We didn't actually use that word, but that's another idea of this idea of perseverance. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Add to your self-control perseverance. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Frank actually touched on this passage this morning. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Now this comes right after chapter 11, where we talk about all the men and women of faith that are discussed there. And he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." This idea of becoming weary and discouraged is the opposite of this idea of perseverance. Or when we become weary, we persevere. We keep on going. Add to your perseverance godliness, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Second Peter. Add to your godliness brotherly kindness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate, or have brotherly kindness to one another, and with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another, and to brotherly kindness love. It's hard to talk about love without going to 1 Corinthians 13, but this is this idea of agape love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. And of course, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 9 speaks about the love that God has for us and our love that we ought to have for one another because of that. It said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Secure the high ground. The spiritual high ground is heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And the principles that we've studied this evening guarantees, according to this passage, an entrance into the kingdom. We are guaranteed an entrance if we put these things into practice. Now, they're not easy. Anytime you climb up a hill, it's not easy. Now, the interesting thing is it's a lot easier if you have steps, right? We've been given some steps this evening to get to the top of that hill.